I want to start with a word picture. It's not original. I borrowed this word picture from a famous preacher from the past. His name was Henry Ward Beecher. And he said to visualize yourself as a three-story building. And he said that the ground floor is where we spend much of the day, the routines, the chores, the normal things that you do. And he said that on the ground floor, it's the place where our appetites rule us and where passions crawl around. So it's the ground floor where we spend much of our day. And he said, from the ground floor, there's a flight of stairs. And if we take that flight of stairs, we climb to the next level. On the next level, there's a library. And he said, in our lives, there's this library of our minds. And when we climb to this level of the library, this is the place where we think new ideas, pursue new thoughts, think about things deeply, the library. We learn, we study, we grow. But then we'll perhaps go back down to the ground floor again. He said that some people spend more time in the library than others. And he said, even if we only were to spend a brief amount of time each day in the library, this is a most pleasant room and we will gain strength for the day. So there's the ground floor with its chores and routines, its appetites, its passions. There's the library when we think and go a bit deeper. But he said from the library, there's another flight of stairs going higher still to the third level. And he called this third level the tower room. But this is the room that people rarely climb to, he said, because it takes a bit more effort to climb another flight of stairs. And so most people ignore this room. They don't furnish this room. It gathers dust. It's left bare. And it's the room that people think, oh, I know there's something there, but they ignore it. I don't know if it's got any use. Except that this is the room with the view. Now, I don't know how many of you have been watching the Tour de France, but a few nights back, as the peloton was riding through the Swiss Alps, the helicopter took the camera high up over the Alps, and the scenery was just jaw-dropping, just incredible. The higher you go, the better view you get. That's the point. And in the tower room, Beecher was saying, the higher we go, when we go to the tower room, we get this better view of the landscape of our lives, of the world. And he said that the tower room is the place where we commune with God. The tower room is the place we go to commune with God because it's the room with the view. And from the tower room, we are then meant to look out over the world from God's perspective. The disciples were watching Jesus quite closely, and they noticed that there was a real difference between their life and his life. And they wanted to know what made this difference, and the difference was the tower room. And one of them was brave enough one day to tap him on the shoulder and ask him about it, to ask him a question. We're going to listen now to the scripture reading for today from Luke's Gospel, and in it, listen for the scripture. Justin's going to come and read it to us. Thanks, Justin.
Jesus teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed and I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Lord, teach us to pray. Are you with that disciple in that question? Did this disciple ask this question? Did he think he was going to get some technique back from Jesus? A three-step plan, do you think? Right combination of words? But God isn't a vending machine. Instead, Jesus took them, as it were, to the tower room and gave them a glimpse of seeing life from God's perspective. And I think that's what prayer is. Prayer is looking at life from God's perspective. So God isn't a combination lock that we're trying to find the code for through prayer. So don't think of God as a combination lock. And what about that strange parable that he matches with his teaching on prayer about pounding on the door of a friend at midnight, demanding bread for the journey, and the friend doesn't want to get up, but gets up anyway because it's your friend? If your friend will ultimately come to your aid, how much more will God be present for you, is what he's saying there. Strange parable, isn't it? Now to his teaching. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father. So it's not first step, do this, second step, do this, third step, do this, and so on. No, no, no. It's say, our Father. So it's about relationship. So when we go to the tower room, the first thing we should be thinking about is our relationship with God, a relationship that we can rely upon. That's what he's saying. And this vision of God as Father bookends this teaching on prayer because he finishes by saying, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So the whole thing is about relationship with God. And I was thinking about that, thinking even when he was on the cross, what was his last words? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So it's as if he stayed in the tower room continuously, even in the worst moment. He looked out from God's perspective. So when you pray, it might be helpful to use this picture language of the climbing the stairs past the library to the tower room and looking out upon the world. So visualize that in your minds. That might be a helpful picture. And start your prayer thinking about your relationship with God. That's how Jesus said, start thinking about your relationship with God. That's where we start. Karl Marx's daughter, though she was raised an atheist, said to a friend one day, all the same, I came across a prayer the other day which I only wish were true. And the friend inquired, what's the prayer that you came across that you wish was true? And she started slowly and wondering with wonder in her voice. It began like this, Our Father who art in heaven. Think about it like this way. Karl Marx's daughter, for her father had barricaded the door to the tower room. She wasn't allowed to go in there, and she felt the loss. She felt the loss. The disciples could see in Jesus this relationship that was strengthened with the Father. It wasn't a three-step plan. It was about this relationship with the Father. And that's what, if you like, he invited them into. So think of prayer like that. Hallowed be your name. How is God's name hallowed? It's a strange word, isn't it? Hallowed. I suppose holy, glorify. I think the answer to how is God's name hallowed comes in what he says next. Where there is forgiveness, God's name is hallowed. Where there is bread for all, God's name is hallowed. Where there is resistance and to suffering and evil, God's name is hallowed. Where these things are lived out, God's name is made holy, glorified, hallowed. We are called then to climb the stairs to the tower room and look out upon the world with all its fractures and injustices. And then our prayer is for the will of God to be made manifest in those places. We are to pray for signs of the breaking of the kingdom of God amid all those injustices and fractures in the world. And then our prayer should lead us into action. Your kingdom come. Helmut Thielicke, who was a famous German minister, theologian, I've got most of his books, terrific writer. In the Second World War, one morning, Sunday morning, he stood amid the ruins of his bombed out church in Stuttgart. And he preached there amid the ruins a message which became renowned. And his message was titled, Thy Kingdom Come. And he said this, in this world of death, in this empire of ruins and shell-torn fields, we pray thy kingdom come. We pray it more fervently than ever. Tillich could have cried out, God, what have you done to us? God, where are you? Why have you let this happen to us? God, you're not there anyway. He could have said that, couldn't he? Could have despaired. Instead, it was as if amid the ruins he climbs to the tower room and he looks out beyond the ruins for signs of the breaking in of the kingdom of God. That's hard to do when you're amid ruins. It's hard, but that's what we're called to do. We're called to climb to the tower room and look out for signs of the breaking in of the kingdom of God, to look beyond the ruins. And it was his leadership and message which sustained his people through that nightmare that they were living through. Give us each day our daily bread. Do you see that word daily? Jesus used a really strange word. The word was epiousion for those who know their Greek, but then most of you don't, do you? But some of you do. It doesn't occur anywhere else in the Bible. Scholars, when they're translating this word, were pondering, what did Jesus actually mean by it? It doesn't occur in classical Greek literatures, not in Plato or Aristotle or Homer. So there was no sort of background to give them more fabric in terms of what Jesus was meaning when he said this in the prayer. And they began to think that maybe it was a made-up word. Maybe he made this word up. What was the full extent of his meaning when he puts this in his prayer daily? What do you mean? No one knew, really, until last century when archaeologists were on a dig in Egypt and they unearthed a whole cache of writings. And amid the writings that they unearthed, they found someone's shopping list. Now, how would it be if in 2,000 years' time someone unearthed your shopping list from last week? What would they make of it? What is this Vegemite? Anyway, on this shopping list, they found this word that Jesus used. So it was a marketplace word in the first century. Okay, it was a marketplace word. It was a daily word. And they then thought, we now know the full application of what he was meaning. So he was using the common language, a marketplace word, it's saying, go back to the tower room, when we climb the tower room, not only is Jesus saying to look out over the world in terms of that which will hallow God's name, not only look out over the world in terms of looking beyond the ruins for signs of the kingdom of God, but also look upon the marketplace of one's life. Okay? Look upon the daily chores, routines, tasks that we all are part of, and look upon them in prayer. Look upon them from God's perspective. And wouldn't that change things if we did that? If we not only looked at the whole world, but looked at the marketplace moments in our life from God's perspective, wouldn't that change things? Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. So going to the tower room is not about beating ourselves up because we can't forgive well enough. Rather, the word that was used there was an ongoing word. It was, forgive us our sins was one verb, but as we forgive is another verb. And it was about this ongoing process of trying to live into relationship with the other. That's what it was about. So I think the view from the tower room captures also moments that take our breath away. And this is what ought to happen in prayer. For example, one of the companion readings for today is from Colossians, and this is what it says. And this is one of these takes our breath away words. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, God, lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. So prayer can be sitting with the scripture and just savouring it. Just letting it percolate inside you. Prayer can be that. That's the view that God wants us to have. Okay, I want to go back now to the Luke text. I want to ask some difficult questions of the text. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. So what does it mean to pray for something in the name of Jesus? I don't think the issue is, are we asking for something? I think the issue is, are we asking for something because it's my will? Or are we asking for the will of God to be revealed? And there's a difference so often. And then, are we prepared to live and walk into the will of God that is revealed? Maybe that's a door we don't want to knock on. He says, knock and the door be opened. Is that a door we really want to knock on? Are we really prepared to live into his will? Jesus tells us what we should be asking for again. Start with your relationship with God. Then go on to looking at how might God's name be hallowed in peace and justice making, in forgiveness. Then go on to how might God's presence be known in the marketplace stuff of my life. So, what about the seeking? The question becomes, is what I am seeking what Jesus wants me to seek? Am I prepared to knock on that door? Karl Barth said very wisely, the purpose of prayer is not to bend the will of God to my will, which is how we want it to be, but rather the purpose of prayer is to bend our will toward God's will. I think that's profound. If you don't remember anything else of what I'm saying this morning, take that thought away with you. So we go to the tower room to listen for the will of God. And Jesus said that when we do, God will not hand us a snake or a scorpion. He's not going to turn us away, in other words. Let me push this. I have a but. I can think of lots of illustrations. I'll tell you one. But what about the time when we prayed desperately for the child with muscular dystrophy? And surely healing was the will of God. Surely. And the child died. And it felt like God had handed to us a scorpion. And you will know what that feels like. I cannot tie this up with a neat bow, with some clever explanation of words that doesn't touch the real world, all right? And I must confess I get quite angry with those who try to. For example, when I hear, oh, well, the person just didn't have enough faith. That makes me very angry. It's not actually based on the amount of faith you've got. Even a little bit of faith Jesus said, is enough. What the people are doing when they say that is they're trying to tie it up with a neat bow and resolve every mystery, and we can't. All right? I think it's just important to name it and to say, I can't figure this out. I think adding guilt to someone's pain is not a kingdom value. But I think it's important to say it, to name it, and to say, I can't figure this out. We cannot tie this up with a neat bow. All we can do together is explore this life of faith that calls us into this tension of living in the kingdom when we can't resolve everything. And everything doesn't work out how we think it should. But there stands Christ, and that's who we're called to follow. I think that's all we can do is explore this faith together. And I think sometimes we find ourselves in the shoes of a Helmut Thielicke as he stood amid the ruins. And in that place, it takes real effort, energy, real effort to summon the energy to climb the two flights of stairs to the tower room and to look beyond the ruins at our feet and look for signs of the breaking into the kingdom of God. And yet that's what we're called to do. Jesus said, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In other words, the promise of prayer is God will reveal God's self to you when you pray. That's the promise of prayer in the tower room. So let's pray together. Let's pray. And let's start by praying the Lord's Prayer that we just read from Luke's Gospel. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial. And deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord, may it be that we can use this image of the three stories in the tower room as our guide. And we can picture ourselves, as it were, climbing to the room with the view, and then seeing prayer as looking out upon the world and upon our lives and seeking to gain God's perspective on it. Lord, prayer is something I'm sure we'd all say we struggle with. I guess that's because we think we've got to find the right set of words. And we can struggle with that, but that's not what Jesus said. He took us into a relationship and a vision and a viewpoint. And so as we practice these things, as it were, as we seek to climb the stairs to the tower room, may it be this week that we could let his words, his teaching here on prayer, be our guide. And so we pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. As we think about prayer, and this wonderful prayer that goes on already in lots of places in the congregation, in growth groups. I know before each playgroup session, before each Northringwood care session, in your homes, in your workplaces, a whole host of stuff. But we're adding to that now a gathered community prayer time, probably monthly, and the next one, you watch for it next week, it'll be in a fortnight's time on a Friday night, okay? A place to gather together and to try and capture the view from the tower room.